Well, the Society for Neuroscience is meeting this week in New Orleans, and the organization has put out a call for researchers to present their latest findings on dementia. There are drugs, cognitive exercises, but a growing feeling that nothing works and that research is focused too much on a one-size-fits-all approach. As the number of people with dementia is expected to double by 2030 and triple by 2050, when the cost for treating patients in the U.S. alone could reach $2 trillion. We want to spend a few minutes here today with Stephen Hall, a science journalist who's written a deep piece for MIT's Technology Review and joins us from the Mighty Toad Recording Studio in Brooklyn, New York. Steve, welcome.
My pleasure.
Just a couple of paragraphs into your piece, you get a pretty grim assessment from Dr. Evelyn Granieri, who's deep in this study. She was part of a National Institutes of Health panel that assessed dementia treatments. What did she tell you?
Basically, her concern, and it reflects the concern of certainly some clinicians in the field, that there really is not anything that changes the course of dementia once it has begun. And this has been a situation for a long time. I think the sense of urgency now is that we can see the numbers expanding in terms of the number of cases of dementia, as you just mentioned, over the next coming decades, on the one hand. And on the other hand, we still don't have anything that actually stops or reverses the course of the disease. And several advanced clinical trials have not reached their endpoints. That is what they were hoping to achieve in terms of having an effect on patients with the moderate or mild Alzheimer's disease. So there's a bit of a sense that the field needs to maybe rethink a little bit, take a slightly more global, multifactorial approach to the disease, which is one of the recommendations that came out of a National Institutes on Aging Summit meeting earlier this year, and really consider all possibilities in terms of research initiatives.
Well, I'm going to underscore what you just said. Pretty much this Dr. Granieri said to you, nothing works, you don't get better ever. And you also quote Barry Greenberg of the Toronto Dementia Research Alliance. Again, the word nothing, not a single disease-modifying agent has been identified. You know, what does this do for people who are taking medications for dementia and Alzheimer's?
Well, there are several medications that are on the market that have been approved by the FDA, which in some patients seem to modulate the symptoms a little bit for a period of time. I don't think anybody in the field views these as game-changing or disease-reversing drugs, and they're quite expensive. And so they've been around for a while. So there's obviously a desire for more effective agents, drugs that might change the course of the disease, and they're currently not available. Now, you mentioned the NIH study. It was done a couple of years ago, and it's called a state of the science study, where they evaluated all the scientific studies that have been conducted on everything from vitamin supplements to cognitive exercises, physical exercise, and also these cholinesterase inhibitors, which are the drugs that are currently on the market. And the finding of this panel was essentially that none of these interventions have been shown to be effective in what they considered a scientifically rigorous study. So there certainly is evidence that some of these things might be helpful, at least in certain cases. There's also some evidence that physical exercise is sort of trending toward what doctors and researchers call statistical significance. But at least according to this panel, there was nothing that kind of exceeded the bar of what they considered to be rigorous scientific studies that made the case.
Is Aricept one of those medications you just mentioned?
Yeah.
It's in that family. Well, we know it's open season for Medicare enrollment, and we're reading on the Alzheimer's Association website that in 2012, many Medicare plans won't cover the Alzheimer's drug Aricept other than in restricted doses. The Alzheimer's Association is saying patients and their families can ask for exceptions, but they need to find out what their plan's coverage limits are. You know, you mentioned these drugs are expensive, some $400 a month. Yes, they might offer just a little bit of help, but are insurers going to stop covering them if they're hearing these results that they're not doing enough?
Well, I can't speak for what either Medicare or the insurance companies are going to do. However, there was an interesting case in England a couple of years ago. There's a British committee that's kind of attached to the National Health Service there, which decides whether the National Health Service in England will cover particular medications. And they considered these drugs for the treatment of dementia and Alzheimer's, and they decided that they were not a cost-effective and they would not cover them. There was a huge hue and cry from patient groups and families that wanted to have access to these drugs, and eventually the committee relented. But the point is, families very naturally want to do whatever they can to help their loved ones, especially with as devastating an illness as dementia, which is slow, progressive, irreversible. And you just watch a loved one sequentially lose memory, personality, ability to function. It's just a devastating disease at a medical, social, emotional, and economic level.
Well, you write about these frontline doctors like Dr. Granieri are frustrated at what they see as the narrowness of dementia research. What is she saying?
Her point, and some other clinicians had mentioned this, is there's a prevailing sort of hypothesis about the disease process that creates Alzheimer's, for example. And it involves these plaques of a protein called amyloid that kind of gather on the outside of nerve cells and consequently are present. A recent study came out just over the summer that indicated these amyloid deposits begin to build up as much as 25 years before the first symptoms of the disease show up, so that by the time you go to your doctor, you know, the disease process may have been going on for 20 or 25 years. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that this is an important part of the disease process, but as people told me in the story, and I think most people would admit, the amyloid hypothesis is yet to be properly tested.
In fact, researchers told you they're wondering if, in addition to those amyloid plaques, something called tau tangles, these are misshapen proteins inside brain cells, if they might be playing a role. Science journalist Stephen Hall has looked deep into dementia for MIT. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, what's the latest on environment as a factor in Alzheimer's, and what are those injection treatments we've been hearing about? Much more in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. We're assessing where we are in dementia research with science journalist Stephen Hall, who's written a comprehensive piece for MIT's Technology Review. And Stephen, you look at research that Alzheimer's in the brain could be triggered by impaired processing of blood sugar or an imbalance of metal ions. But the research, you know, is inconclusive. That continues. Is there a sense that the money is well spent or not?
I think the sentiment in the research community is that a lot of promising leads have been pursued. I think there's also the sense now that the problem is so enormous and on such a broad global scale that the amount of money that's being devoted to it is probably not sufficient. But there's also the entertainment of some alternative ideas. I think, to me, the fact that there are a number of different kind of explanations or hypotheses being pursued in terms of drug trials tells me that we haven't quite settled on a understanding of the exact mechanism of the disease of dementia in general. You'll see in many papers in the scientific literature, for example, it flatly states that Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. And yet you'll see in other papers the fact that another cause of dementia, which is kind of vascular issues in the brain, mini strokes, that sort of thing, is associated with the largest number of dementia cases. And there's an overlap between these two disease distinctions. So it's a very difficult field to sort of discern the precise cause and the precise disease process of each and every case of dementia. It's very difficult. And I think clinicians realize that. As one of them told me, you know, not everyone has the same kind of Alzheimer's, and this is more than just Alzheimer's. There's a lot of ways and processes by which you can arrive at a diagnosis of dementia. So I think there's the sense from the clinical community that we have to think a little bit more broadly about understanding it and then possibly treating it.
What are some new trials that you've been covering?
Well, there's a couple of prevention trials, so-called prevention trials, are going to launch in 2013, and really in the coming months, that are going to test the idea that if you intervene well before the symptoms appear, you might have a chance to reverse or stop or alter the course of Alzheimer's. So how could you possibly identify people before they have even show up with the symptoms? Well, in a rare number of cases, a small number of cases of Alzheimer's, the disease is genetic. People who have particular mutations are essentially fated to develop the disease. And through family history, you know almost precisely to the year when symptoms are likely to occur. So what's being planned in these various trials is to begin treating people who do have these genetic mutations, and they've had to do these in a very ethically sensitive manner because some people don't want to know that they have the mutation, so they have to create these groups that have mixes of people who do and don't have the mutation, but essentially treat them 10 to 15 years before they would be expected to develop symptoms to see if you can alter the course of disease. And the drugs they're using in this case is an immunological agent called a monoclonal antibody. It's kind of a man-made antibody that's designed to attack this amyloid protein that we've talked about. And the thought is if we give this early enough before symptoms even occur in people we know are going to develop the disease, perhaps we can alter the course of it. So those trials are going to be launching within the next year. And there's a lot of both anticipation and anxiety, I guess you could say, about what the outcome of those trials is going to be. Because to date, the amyloid attacking monoclonals, when you give it to people who already have symptoms, have been, I would say, at best inconclusive. And in some cases, they've shown no effect. So, you know, we're looking at maybe a period of 3 to 5 years downstream when we might begin to see some answers whether these new preventive strategies might work.
Hmm. Is there a sense that there's more dementia now than when it was discovered 100 years ago or defined 100 years ago? And if so, does that mean there's something environmental that people are considering?
I don't think so much environmental. I think that the kind of fundamental calculus is dementia seems to be associated with getting old. And because more of us are living to an older age, more of us are getting dementia. So they did an interesting study at one of the Columbia teaching hospitals where they looked at everybody who came into the hospital at age 70 or above for whatever reason. And they just gave them a kind of standard cognitive tests, and they found that 90% of the people who admitted to the hospital over 70 years of age had some degree of cognitive impairment, implying some degree of dementia. So that's a higher number than anyone expected. It's not a published study yet. It's a sort of a preliminary finding, but it's an indication of how, as we get older, how widespread this problem is and, more importantly, is going to become.
Well, Stephen Hall, you are a science journalist who immersed yourself in this topic with doctors who are every day in the field working with dementia patients. Are they stopping prescribing medication and prescribing these cognitive exercises because the research seems to show that there's not really a lot of help from them?
You know, I think it's on a case-by-case basis. I've seen articles in the New England Journal of Medicine where people recommend prescribing drugs like Aricept and cholinesterase inhibitors because they think that they can be helpful. I know other doctors who kind of counsel against it. So I think it's on a case-by-case basis and probably a doctor-by-doctor basis, you know, as it should be. It should be a conversation between the patient, patient's family, and the doctor deciding what's the best course of treatment for the patient.
Yeah. That's Stephen Hall, again, science journalist who assessed the state of dementia research in a lengthy article, The Dementia Plague. It's in MIT's Technology Review. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. Stephen, thanks so much.
Okay, my pleasure.
So, do you believe the conclusions that nothing yet works? Have you seen a loved one helped by medication or exercise, even though the research is inconclusive? A reader responded to Stephen's article saying that giving his father 4 tablespoons of coconut oil a day helped him in the early stages of Alzheimer's, but didn't stave it off. Of course, you should check with a doctor first before trying that. But leave any comments or emails at hereandnow.org, where you can also respond to our first story, David Kirkpatrick of The Times meeting in Benghazi with a man said to be behind the consulate attack. What do you want to hear the candidates say about this in Monday's presidential debate? Love to hear from you. hereandnow.org. Latest news is next. Here and Now.